Boom. Here we are back again. Only two, but just as strong as ever. It's just me and Dave today. But welcome back to the Brothers of the World podcast. You know, this good run just keeps going. Win over Spezia on Friday. We waited a couple days to see some other results, but here we are. Dave, how you feeling? How was the match for you? How's things going?
I'm feeling good, man. I'm definitely feeling good. Another performance where it seems like we just went and handled our business and beat a team that we were supposed to beat. It wasn't as straightforward as Verona, for example, but we still managed at the end of the day to beat them by two goals, and it was quite comfortable at the very end, although we did have that scare with that goal that they scored. I'm satisfied with the performance overall. It sucks that Milan, they did not drop point this time around, but at the end of the day, we're still in control of our own destiny. So as long as we keep our eyes in front of us and beat the teams that are in front of us, we should be good at the end of the campeonato, especially given the differences in schedules between us and Milan. I'm sure we'll talk about that a little later.
I can't complain about the match. I mean, there was, maybe a little bit of a hiccup where you get a little worried where Spezia get one back and, you know, the cliche of 2-0 is the most dangerous lead, and then that's hacked to 2-1. Some changes were made, but then, you know, both of ourselves and Lautaro and Alexis provide, and that's something good that we need to see out of both of them going forward in this final stretch. That was something I was very happy to see, because, you know, it's been Dzeko Correa, and that has been a breath of fresh air into the attack. But, you know, at the end of the day, you need all of your strikers. I mean, I guess Caicedo doesn't count. I forget that he's even here half the time. But, yeah, you need the big four firing, and you need those combos right. And I think these are the two striking lineups that you can have. I think Correa is the most versatile. I think he unlocks something in all of the strikers. I think all of them could play with him. But yeah. I think Lautaro and Alexis, we've seen time and again, have worked very well.
No, I agree. I think that's a very good shout. And not only Lautaro, he getting on the score sheet again after I don't know how many games that he missed after Salernitana. That's very important. I know we spoke about it on the last episode where we know Lautaro is a streaky player. He's probably going to miss for five games and then go three in a row. So hopefully this is the start of a three in a row for him where he could have an impact against Milan and maybe Roma as well, you know. So the fact that he was able to break his duck against Spezia, and he looked very good. He had the goal and assist. That's good. That's a good sign for us going forward in that final stretch. And also even more so for Sanchez, because we did speak about it as well in the last episode that he hadn't played the last two matches. You know, so there were beginning to be rumblings of, okay, what's going on? Are we freezing this guy out? Did he have a falling out with Inzaghi? What's going on? So not only did he get to play, he played well, and he got a goal. So that works wonders for his confidence, and we're going to have all our guys firing and forming at the mouth for that final stretch. So, yeah, very good point, and I didn't pick up on that. But
and interestingly enough, Danilo D'Ambrosio providing an assist to Marcelo Brozovic, who gets his first of the season. That was a really good opener. I thought from there, like, the tone was really set. I know we were really worried with the attack, but we've been talking for so long that, you know, when the midfield starts contributing again, it gives the strikers more freedom. And, of course, we have the Calhanoglu penalty against Juve. Barella scored against Verona, and now Brozovic against Spezia. You can't ask for too much more from those three, but I think that's been a big thing, and that's something I'm really glad to see back in the team.
Yeah, no, very, very good shot again, Mikey. I mean, I didn't even put it down like that, but now that you mentioned it, it's like, yeah, the last three matches, each of our starting midfielders have managed to get on the score sheet. And we've been saying that from the get-go, like, okay, we don't have that big 25-goal striker, and we know what Lautaro is, we know how old Dzeko is. So if anything, everybody's going to have to be contributing. So I'm glad to see it's starting to happen. And I wanted to also touch on D'Ambrosio. It sucks that Ian's not here today because Ian's our resident D'Ambrosio stan. Kudos to him. Not only kudos to him, but also kudos to Inzaghi, because what he did to create that first goal. That's something that happened by design. That's a tactical thing by Inzaghi, because I think they tried it the first time in the first half. That long ball where Dombrowski makes that long run all the way into the box, and Brozo tried to find him. I don't remember what happened, but it was a dangerous action, but not the goal that had come from that. And then we tried it again, and this time he was able to knock it back into the box. I'm not sure if Brozo was the target for it, but whatever the case, Brozo followed up his run, and then that was a beautiful volley. So kudos to Inzaghi, man, because we see that not only is he plugging in players when you need to replace an injured player like De Vrij, but he's also using the players that he's bringing into their strength. A guy like Dombrowski, who was a right back by trait. So he's not a true center back. That's a guy that he has the instinct to go forward and stuff like that. So he uses that to his advantage. So I want to give Inzaghi big kudos for that, you know, because I like seeing stuff like that. And we saw a lot of little tactical changes that he made. We saw at some point Hakan and Barella, they pretty much interchanged sides. I was looking for Barella. I was like, where is he? You know, and then I saw he was down on the left side with Hakan. I guess that throws the defense off balance, because when they're rehearsing, when they're practicing, they're watching film, they expect you to be a certain position, and they prepare to defend a certain way. So when you switch it, you throw him off balance. So kudos to Inzaghi for that, man. I'm happy overall.
God, it's so funny because I remember, you know, deep in the banter era, Dombrowski as a right back couldn't even get forward right half the time. And now as a center back, he's setting up assists. He's, of course, the back post specialist on set pieces. Yeah. You know, the progression of that guy's career, I know we say it a lot, but it can't be stated enough. Like, I mean, we all know he's not the most technically gifted player on the planet, but I think he just learns. Like, he's just a guy that's always learning that position. He's adapting, you know, he's what he doesn't have technically. He keeps it, you know, physically, or, you know, just in his movements, in the way that he sees the game. He's really progressing that way.
And I don't want to shit on him too much, but I just want to say that maybe what we are seeing is directly affected by the change of position. Because when you were lining him up as a right back, I guess you expect them to be doing those overlapping runs, and defenses kind of account for that, you know. So that's why he was struggling. He wasn't really too offensive when he was actually playing right back. But when he's lining up as a right center back, when you're doing your game plan defensively, you're not saying, "Hey, okay, yeah, you're gonna be there to guard the right center back when he's making his forward run." You know that, yeah. That doesn't happen. So I guess most of the time he catches defenses off guard. So that's why I wanted to give a big kudos to Inzaghi, because it looks great when it works out. But imagine had he done that and then we ended up conceding a goal on the counter exactly in the position where Dombrowski was supposed to be at. Then I'm sure we all would have been shitting on Inzaghi. What are you doing? Moving defenders out of position, leaving holes, you know. But he knew what he was doing. He practiced it and it worked to perfection. So kudos to him.
Yeah. And of course, we talked about Ian a minute ago. Handanovic not getting a clean sheet, Ian disappearing. Maybe some direct correlation there, even though he got his Dombrowski assist. Another guy getting assists, of course, in this match was Ivan Perisic. I mean, there's not much more that we can say about the guy, but just got to point it out again. I mean, I think he's on 5 goals, 5 assists in Serie A this season.
Yeah, exactly.
And I don't think we expected contribution from him, but I mean, 10 goal contributions, and there's still matches left in the season. And he's still keeping out like the other top left wing back in the Serie A, still keeping him out of the team. When I thought Gosens was going to get a start for this. Me too. I don't know how you felt. Okay. So yeah.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. And not only that, but most of the newspapers predicted lineups that had Gosens starting. You know, it's undeniable how important Perisic has been to us this season. And to me, I think it goes even beyond the numbers that you mentioned. 5 goals, 5 assists. It doesn't sound like anything that really knocks you off your chair. But watching this guy playing in the team, seeing him track back the tackles on defense, his contributions on offense, his motivation, his leadership, this guy is invaluable to us. And that's why we've signed the best guy in the position, or who we thought was the best guy in the position in the league, and he still can't get on the pitch, and we can't complain about it just because every single match, we could literally point to something that Perisic does as a contribution. So it's a beautiful problem to have. And I saw that him and Gosens posted a picture of him and Perisic the other day. So it seems like there's no animosity. Everybody's really pulling on in the same direction for the squad, for the good of the squad. So that's all that matters. But Perisic, man, like, what a guy. That's a guy that we need to do whatever we can do to keep him at a reasonable rate, as of course. But he's so invaluable to the squad. That's an important player.
Yeah. I know. I saw in the past week, the usual rumors or whatever, reports of Perisic being very close to finishing that extension. So, I mean, if that is the case, and you know, when that comes, hopefully comes, that's gonna be another relief, just as Brozovic extending was.
I also read that the other interests from him were coming from Turkey and stuff like that. So it's like, it's not like really something that interests him. I'm surprised that, well, the big Premier League sides aren't trying to get him on the cheap. I know Chelsea were interested in January, you know, for their left wing back position, but I don't know. I don't think they want to pay for him. Or, I mean, I'm not sure what the situation is. They didn't want to pay him the wages that he wants. You know?
Yeah, you know, if I'm a Prem club, I'm staying away from Inter right now. I mean, like, even looking at Lukaku today, I know he had a big miss in the FA Cup. I saw a lot about, I mean, I wasn't watching the match, but, you know, just by association, if you're on any kind of Inter social media, you're still going to see Lukaku still coming up. And, man, that guy keeps dropping in value. But, I mean, we may still see him back here next year. Who knows? If it keeps going this way, especially.
We touched on that a little bit. I'm sure most of the people in the comments, which we need to touch on in a bit, because I see they're very active. Yeah, thank you, guys. Look at this. I didn't even see all the comments we already have.
Yeah, it's already pretty deep.
Yeah. Thank you, everybody. You guys know we appreciate it, and we'll try to get to all of you guys. But I know most of the people in the comments are from Twitter and or some sort of social media. And it was been making the rounds from some big English account. He has a check mark. It's saying that sources close to the club are saying that they're pretty much, they've wiped their hands and they're willing to let them leave. Now, it seems like the only problem we may have, the only challenge we may have is PSG. They seem to be interested in him to replace Kylian Mbappe. And, you know, if it comes to competing with financial situation, it's not even a competition. So that would be up to Lukaku if he really wants to come back to pretty much push in that direction. But the news are becoming to be more and more encouraging, that it's becoming less of a fantasy and more of a possibility, of a real possibility, that he can end up back at Inter next season. And I'm all for it. You guys know how much I've been hyping up Scamacca. I see his potential. I see what he can become. But I'm fully aware of what Scamacca is right now and what Lukaku is right now, you know. So Lukaku is number one choice any time of the day.
Yeah. I don't want to hijack it right now. I'm sure we can find some time at the end of the episode to get to some Lukaku talk, because I have some thoughts as well. But yeah, I don't want to hijack it too early. I feel like
my bad. I kind of dove into it too soon.
No, it's all good. I hinted at it way too early. It just came up. It was the low-hanging fruit. It was just too easy to go there. But anything else in this match? It wasn't a great match for Dumfries, I didn't think. I thought this was, you know, one of the more kind of, I don't even know what to call it as a performance. Just very hesitant, I guess is the right word.
Yeah, very pedestrian performance by him. He wasn't as aggressive, and I think he looked tired, in my opinion. The predicted lineups, they had Darmian starting, and that's what I was expecting as well, because this guy has been since he's locked in that position as a starting right wing back. We know how Inzaghi goes; like, he's barely giving this guy a game off. So against Spezia, a side that were battling, what are still battling relegation, because they could still go down mathematically, I would have thought that we would have gone Darmian. So I guess not. But I think Dumfries is tired, man. And that's a big problem for us, because I would have loved to have him fresh and ready to go against Theo Hernandez for the upcoming derby. And let's see how it goes. Let's hopefully the 3-4 days of rest, Inzaghi manages it enough that he's not training these guys too hard and actually lets them recover. Because I thought what we saw, that performance we saw by Dumfries, is directly linked to him being tired, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I don't have a problem. I guess this is kind of our natural segue into like talk about the upcoming derby. You know, it's going to decide a Copa final. Neither of these teams have won that competition in a long time. But getting into it, I mean, I don't have a problem with Darmian in the Copa. I think him up against Dale, I think that's a more defensive-minded way to approach facing him. I don't see anything wrong with that. He's always the guy that wants to get forward, you know, get things started, burst into the middle for them. So, I mean, if that's what we get, I'm fine with Darmian. I know that he knows how to defend. I know that he would be going out there with, you know, the knowledge of how to contain this guy. And also, I mean, he can get forward, you know, in a time, like when it's timely. I mean, he's not Dumfries, he's not Hakimi, but he's a smart player. And
yeah, no, I'd be fine with it. That's one thing about Darmian. Darmian is a guy that he's a safe player, you know. More likely than not, we're not going to lose because of him or because he's made a mistake or because of something like that. What it is like he's most likely going to maintain the status quo. So if anything, he could cancel out Theo a little bit on that side, but we're not going to be expecting too much out of him neither, you know. So maybe it's like he could do that. He could have him play the first 60, 65 minutes. Theo was taking a lot of hits against Genoa, so I'm pretty sure he's not really fully fit either. And we could squeeze in Dumfries at the 70th minute and have him run out of tired Theo, hopefully, you know. So I'd be cool with Darmian. He's a safe player.
Yeah. And so kicking off with the comments, Future Hendrix had hit us before, way before we were even on 1:36. I know we went live around 2:08-ish, but said that after seeing reports about Inzaghi starting Dzeko and Lautaro, let's just congratulate Juan on the final. Yeah, I actually haven't seen that. When I write for Serpents of Madonina, I know I'm doing the preview for that match on there. It may not be the most accurate, but I like to use Gazeta for just
predicted lineups.
Yeah, predicted lineups. Just because it's the best looking for a graphic, and I can use it and give credit, of course. And they have Dzeko and Correa. I know that a lot of the predictions were way off from every outlet. This past weekend,
for Spezia match, yeah.
So, just you know, we were very used to having, you know, whatever the mole was in management in the locker room, where you know it was spot on like a week before every single time. But like
people used to say it was Osilio.
It could have been very well. Who knows? But you know, like, once Conte came in, that kind of put the clamps on that. The only reason people were right about Conte's lineups were because he would not change. But yeah, like there's a lot more unpredictability this season in our lineups. So I'm hoping that Inzaghi has learned his lesson with the Dzeko Lautaro. I don't want to see that anymore.
You said exactly what I was about to say. To touch on Future Hendrix's question. I would be very disappointed if he reverted back to Dzeko Lautaro, because I've been very encouraged the last two matches. Because, well, I guess the first one doesn't really count because Lautaro was suspended. But the second match, seeing that he still went with Dzeko and Correa, even if Lautaro was available, that made me hopeful that maybe he saw that maybe he finally just decided, like, okay, you know what? Okay, Dzeko and Lautaro are not going to work out together. We can't have him together. We're just going to have him interchange, which would be fine. You know, we have, what, six matches left? Well, if we count, let's say we beat Milan, get into the finals, knock on woods, we would have eight matches left total. You know, so if Lautaro is not starting for those eight matches, I'm sure that he'll be okay. You know, we're not going to have a big crisis in the squad if he makes the change so late in the season. But yeah, most of the fans have been saying that from the get-go, Lautaro and Dzeko do not fit together. We all know it. Inzaghi is stuck by it all season, and I guess we're still here. So it hasn't been a complete flop, but I was encouraged that he started Lautaro. I mean, Correa last match against Spezia, and I thought he was gonna stick back. So hopefully that is wrong, that he doesn't go back to Lautaro and Zeko, because it's obvious that it's not working.
Yeah, and I mean, looking at Zeko and Correa in this past match, like, I mean, it was not a perfect performance from either of them by far. Mm-hmm. I remember Correa with a big, like, miss on a double chance. I mean, Zeko was standing in his way for one of them.
Yeah, for the rebound, Zeko was in his way. But still, I think what you were going to say, I'm sorry to cut you off, it's like it still works better than Zeko and Lautaro, right?
Yeah, that it adds, you know, maybe, by the numbers, it looks about the same up top, but the way that the team plays, the way the rest of the team moves, the way that the strikers move, like, mm-hmm. it all matters. Like, it's not in a vacuum. And we see that just gets teams more out of place, that puts more freedom onto the midfield where they can score more, which by inverse still gives the attackers more freedom because they're not trying to score, like, wonder goals. I mean, you can only score once with one kick of the ball. You can't score like a 3-point goal or something. Like, it's not basketball. Yeah. So it's less risk on them. And I just think everyone has to see that. Like, it is so obvious. Like,
from yeah, but
the manager
that's the
to
thing.
The players to everybody, we all see it.
That's the thing. There's no way to quantify Correa's impact on the team, because you look at him, he since he's came back, he hasn't had any assists or any goals. But the eye test, what people like to use, the eye test is obvious. We play much better with him, and the opponent's defenders, they respect his pace, you know, and that impacts the whole team, the whole offense. So I would like to see him continue playing, seeing that he's fit. Hopefully he can stay fit for the rest of the season. But yeah, the thing is, we don't have any numbers to back it up. We don't have any stats, really. Maybe Uncle Sharma, I saw him in the comments earlier. Uncle Sharma has the advanced stats. Maybe he could find a way to show us Correa's impact. But us, we can't really show, okay, what he's doing, except for the eye test. Like, yo, okay, he's having a great impact on the team, and we need to keep playing him.
Yeah, and I mean, the best thing you can see is just the scoreboard. I mean, if you've got this guy come in and then you've won 3 on the bounce, I think that's a pretty obvious indicator. I was gonna shout Sharma too. Like, we can't talk about Correa without mentioning Sharma.
Poo-poo Correa FC in the
yeah. house. I mean, he's been a staunch supporter since the beginning, and like, we're seeing why. Like, I think from listening
sure.
to Sharma and talking to him, like, it's not trying to be like, oh, this guy's going to come in and score like 15 goals. It's like, mm-hmm. he's going to offer something different. It's just going to make, the attack look different. And, you know, that's what we're seeing.
And that's exactly what we're saying, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And what other comments? We got Mattia, sees it's just us. He says, where's Risto, the success stand? You know, he's actually watching handball. He told us before we were going to go on. He was like, go on without me. I'm out watching Macedonia qualify for the Handball World Cup. I'm like, all right,
bro. This guy watches every kind of sport, man. I don't even know.
I wouldn't be surprised if he had like 5 or 6 bets out on it too. So, I mean.
That's what he is. That's what
it is. What it is. But yeah, we miss him. We'll have him back soon. We'll have Ian back as well. I miss my stats guy. I know, Dave, you miss him too. I didn't mean to click that one. Oh, sorry, Sharma.
Look at Sharma. Sharma's in our comments recruiting for Poopoo Correa FC. What's going on here?
Yeah, I mean, he needs his numbers, but I mean, if his boy keeps performing this way, I mean, he'll naturally get them. Interpol said I was rocking the stash. I mean, yeah, I've been doing a little bit more stash lately. I mean, everything
the porn
else
stash
is fresh right now. Look at the porn stash. Yeah, but I appreciate it. What else? I've seen this a couple times. Here's Sharma's, but I know someone else asked it. Let me figure out. It was Mr. Jesus Jesus. I do not know which pronunciation you go with. I know it's Easter, so I don't know which way. But asking about Dionysi's comments on Scamacca, I'm not entirely sure what happened there. I was trying to look it up, like, since I saw these comments coming in, and all I've seen. I found one interview, and like, it was just one little quote. It's from IT_Inter on Twitter. and it said basically like half of a season can't be enough.
Oh yeah, I saw that.
Like he's basically saying like he's got to give more, but
yeah,
you know, people are saying it's harsh, but it, to me, it just sounds like the criticism you give to a young striker.
I agree with you. The thing is, ironically, for the past weekend, there have been different people talking about Scamacca. That's why I was confused which comment was actually Dionysius. So we do have this comment. I'll get back to it. But somebody else also said he's a good little player or whatever, but he needs to improve a lot. So I'm not sure who else came out and said that. So it's been a lot of people talking about Scamacca this weekend. I feel like this comment is spot on because, as you guys know, I've been obsessively following him ever since Vlahovic joined Juve, and it became clear that he was probably going to be the guy that we're going to get. I did notice in the past month or so that I guess his work rate has diminished. You know, it almost feels like he's accomplished what he needed to for the season. He's getting the hype. He's getting a big move, and he's not trying so hard. Whereas when you see a guy like Vlahovic play, it's like a guy that's trying to score a hat trick every fucking game, you know? So I think that's exactly what Dionysi means. Like, half season is not good enough. You did well for half a season. You're at 13 goals now. And it almost seems like he's cruising towards the finish line. So yeah, I'm spot on. I'm on board with Dionysi and those comments. Even more so now that there's a possibility that we might get Lukaku. So I'm even harder now on Scamacca, and I'm not gonna agree that if he just cruises to the end of the season, ends up with what, 14 goals, 15 goals, and then to think that he's just gonna walk into to enter. No, he has to keep showing what he got. What, we have 5 matches left. He's at 13 goals. If he could score 2-3 more in 5 matches, or at least show us something, then that would be very important. And what, 2 of those matches are against our rivals. What, he's playing Milan and also Juventus. So 2 big matches. I'm gonna be watching them. So I'm with Dionysi on that. Yeah, he needs to definitely be that guy every match. You know exactly what you're getting. You can't have off matches up on that level. But it's normal for young players, though, I guess.
Yeah. Looking at his stats, he hasn't scored since the 18th of March against Spezia. That was the end of a run of goals in 3 straight, a penalty against Venezia, a goal against Salernitana, and a goal against Spezia. I mean, that's also...
And that was a free kick, right? I think, yeah.
Yeah, I think that was that free kick that he scored. That was a really good goal. Like,
you
got to give him some credit. But, I mean, he was on a decent run, scored against... or assisted against Juventus in the Coppa, scored against Inter, nothing against Fiorentina, then... the Venezia penalty, Salernitana, and then this free kick, I think, against Spezia. Like, it was a decent run, but yeah, you know, no goals in 3 after that.
I was watching him against Cagliari, I think, yesterday.
Yeah.
He didn't do much either, you know, but the whole team sucked. I think they actually lost to Cagliari, right? Was it Cagliari that they were playing?
Yeah, they edged it. No, they did lose to Cagliari. Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was watching that, yeah. Okay. No, they lost that 1-0.
Yeah, you know, low key, the relegation race in Serie A has been pretty fun these past few weeks. I know Salernitana's been going for it. Cagliari's been going for it. I mean, they're all bad teams, but like, I mean, they're grinding out some results right now. It could be interesting.
You think so? Because it looks like Salernitana and Genoa are definitely going down, right? Are you looking at the table right now?
I'm looking at the 538 projected table, like that I had pulled up on the last episode.
Oh, okay.
Let me look at the actual table. Yeah, it's probably about done. Because of that win from Cagliari. If they wouldn't have won that, you still had pretty much everybody within striking distance.
Exactly. That's what I meant. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, that was a misspeak on my behalf then. Salernitana, they still have 2 games in hand. If they were to somehow win both of those, they would be out of the relegation zone. But I don't know who those games in hand are against or anything like that. Yeah. It's
they're bad, bro. They're bad. I can't see how they win the game.
Yeah, I mean, maybe if they played Milan every week, I don't know, but I had to give that one.
I kind of set you up for that one.
yeah, that was a good one. Interpol says Brazo was his man of the match for for Spezia. Yeah,
can't argue against that.
100%. That goal was great. He seems to be really back to himself after that injury that he picked up that really fucked us up for a couple weeks.
Yeah,
but yeah, after that, things have seemed pretty good. Interpol also remarking our defense has been solid under Inzaghi, even though he's very aggressive with his defenders getting forward. I think that's true. I mean, we've seen that a lot this season. Earlier in the season, I think we got burnt a few times, but I mean, those are just growing pains that teams have.
Yeah.
I've also, you know, even since De Vrij has, you know, had his fitness issues recently, Skriniar in the middle and then D'Ambrosio on the right and Bastoni on the left. I feel like that's almost a better fit for what Inzaghi wants to do. Like, those are three guys that, you know, can get forward or have a little bit of quickness to get back. Like, I feel like that is a lot better than, I don't want to say a lot better than De Vrij, but it's a better fit than De Vrij, who, you know, really wants to be just this solid rock at the back.
Yeah, he'd rather sit back. Yeah, I agree. No, for sure, spot on. And I'll even go further. Right now, it's official. It's not me going further. It's official. We're officially the best defense in the league now. That Napoli conceded those three goals to Fiorentina last match day. So we're the best offense and the best defense in the league. So kudos to Simone, man. Like, he's doing big job, and we have the most clean sheets as well, I think. Not thanks to Handanovic, clearly. So that's also credit to the defense.
Yeah, we got Figo in the chat. He says, "My Scudetto." Yes, this will be yours if we get it. You've been saying it the whole time. They need to hand deliver it to New York to Lord Figo.
To Lord Figo, 100%.
Or do something like, what was it? As Ajax did last year, where they melted down their trophy into the stars and gave them out.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, that was what they did for their season ticket holders that couldn't get into matches.
That's cool. That's cool. Yeah. So they have an actual piece of it. That's cool as hell.
Yeah. So Figo, we got to get Figo a little Scudetto. mustache comments. I'm not gonna. So a little too much for
the poor stash family.
This is a family program, y'all. This is a family program. What else? I guess we can just kind of get back to Milan. Figo wants your AirPods, by the way. But setting sights back onto Milan. You know, what are you thinking about that match? How are you feeling?
Honestly, I feel good. I feel much better than going into the first leg, that's for sure. You know, because based on our forms, both teams' forms, we're in a much better place. The first leg, we had just lost to Milan, I think, and drawn to Napoli, and we were in shambles. We couldn't score a goal, and we looked bad that first leg. It was all Milan that dominated us, and they failed to score. That's on them. But now it feels like it's a little different. We're three wins on the bounce, including one big win against Juve, whereas Milan, they drew two matches and then they beat Genoa, you know, so they're kind of like hanky-janky, whereas we're like more, it seems like we're more on the rise. So I feel like if we go off of form, I know with derbies, those things are out of the window. It doesn't matter what form you're in, form goes out the window, but I feel like we're in a good position. We're going to be the home side, and a packed Scudetto, in a packed San Siro. So we're going to have many more Inter fans there back in the team, and that's gonna count for something. So I say that we could pull off a 1-0 and move on to the final.
Yeah. Looking at form right now, I have it pulled up side by side. Our last five... Inter, it was a draw against Torino, draw against Fiorentina, then wins against Juventus, Verona, and Spezia. Milan kind of like flip-flopped form with us. It was while we were drawing, the draw with Torino happened, they beat Empoli. The draw with Fiorentina happened, they beat Cagliari. Then they went and drew two on the bounce against Bologna and Torino. And then, of course, beat Genoa.
Genoa, yeah.
Yeah, but that was their first win, or even their first match with more than two goals it's their first match with more than one goal since Salernitana, the 2-2 draw in February. Like, these guys have not scored more than one
in 2 months.
Yes, like, Genoa, but Genoa finally falling off of that whatever Blessing had those guys on. I don't know what that was, but
they seem they're coming down to earth now.
Yeah, yeah. So two for Milan in that one. But I don't know.
How do you feel?
I'm somewhat confident. I've seen like my last memory, of course, in the Coppa against Milan was the Cutrone late goal. I think we were the better team in that season as well. So, I mean, and then we've been the better team in every derby this season. So it's just, I'm scared to be too confident because this Milan team has, you know, that
complex, have a bit of magic.
Chip on their shoulder, yeah. Like little brother type complex of knowing that Inter are the favorites, but they use that, you know, credit to them. They rile themselves up enough.
To
find the result, but they're not the better team by any stretch of the imagination. So,
no, I agree.
I give it to Inter, of course. I'm not going to say that I'm not. Away goals is a thing, which is
sucks. Yeah, I wanted to mention that. Yeah, that's one thing that I'm scared of. I'm scared that we're going to be up 1-0 for most of the match, and then they could find a late goal, and the next thing you know, they go through on away goals. Hopefully they just get rid of that rule this off season because it's going extent in all of Europe. But of course, you know, Italy, they're always behind on everything. Especially in a match like this and two teams that play in the same stadium in the same city. Alone away goals is just it should not be included in that, but we know what the rules are. We know what they were going into it, so let's not use as an excuse. We're gonna go and we're gonna get a win, and hopefully we keep a clean sheet.
It's definitely not an excuse. It is just something that you're like, how the hell you got an away goal in your home stadium? Like, I don't know. It's just, and if the Champions League's not doing it, like that's kind of the status quo of European
standard. Yeah.
So it is what it is. I mean. Well, it's only been like a little over a decade, maybe like however long since the final has been one leg in Serie A. I know, or not Serie A.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It used to be like finals, yeah, for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Just way behind. Mm-hmm. But I mean, Inter, like all I really ask, you go out, you get your two goals early. Milan can get one back, and that'll be fine. But yeah, kill it off. Don't give them any hope. I always think of that. I think it was Thomas Muller before the Champions League semifinal a couple years ago for Bayern, where he said, "We don't want to give them any hope. We want to go out and like just kill them." I think it was Barcelona they were talking about, but they're like, "We don't want them to have any hope from the beginning whistle. We want to just take it all away." And I'm like, "Just do that."
Yeah,
just.
I think that's when they went and humiliated them.
Yeah, and I mean, I think Perisic was on that team, so I mean.
Maybe he knows the formula. And yeah. No, again, like, if we can do that, there's no denying that that's going to have psychological effects in the Scudetto race. I know it doesn't matter, it doesn't count, but if we beat them there, and especially if we beat them handily and to a point where even if it's not like a blowout score where we dominate them on the pitch and we show that we're the superior team, because all the matches, all the derbies that we played under Conte, that's one thing for sure. We could always say that we look like the superior team, we're the better team on the pitch. So if we could do a performance like that, that's going to mess them up mentally because they have to face Lazio, followed by, Sassuolo, Fiorentina. They got to play Hellas Verona and Atalanta. That's their next five. So I want us to give them a blow and pretty much send them down into a downward spiral, hopefully.
Yeah, that would be, you know, that would be the dream. Looking at the predicted lineups, I know that's not really worth even the paper or the well, it's not even printed on paper. It's not even worth the like pixels on the screen. But you know, they're saying Dzeko, Correa, Perisic, standard midfield, Dumfries, back three that we saw yesterday, Bastoni, Skriniar, D'Ambrosio.
I know Bastoni. Know the right?
Yeah, well, yeah, because it was Bastoni that they took off like as a precaution, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, no De Vrij there, which is interesting because he is fit now.
Yeah, he is because he came on against at the end against Spezia. I thought that Inzaghi did that to get him like some minutes on his legs so he could start for the derby. That's one thing. I would be very surprised if he doesn't start or usual starting three, back three against Milan, especially given that Giroud had turned De Vrij, so De Vrij got some unfinished business with Giroud.
Yeah, well, I guess also in the other way, maybe that's why De Vrij is not playing in this one, because he got spun, and that's what sent us on a two-month spiral.
You know what? That makes sense. Yeah, he could be getting punished for that. Like, you know what? Let me just put Skriniar on him instead. I trust Skriniar. Can you imagine? Giroud is going to have a hard-ass time if it is the case.
Oh, yeah, that's the SpongeBob meme of how many times we have to teach you this lesson, old man. Like, it's going to be Skriniar just going through the back of Giroud 27 times this match, and it's going to be beautiful. On the Milan side, they're predicting Kessié in the 10, definitely to Mark Brozovic.
Brozovic, yeah.
Yeah, but that they've tried that a lot, and they've tried that for years. And I feel like Brozovic has always gotten the better of that battle against Kessié. I mean, maybe a time or two in the past season, maybe two, there's been like a half where Kessié was on top. But I feel like that hasn't worked as well as it's supposed to, like when it was Kulusevski for Juve. But yeah, pretty much their first 11 as well. Liao on the left, Salamaker's on the right. I don't know why Rebic doesn't get starts for them anymore, but I guess I just don't watch enough Milan. But yeah, pretty standard, pretty much everything we've seen from them this season.
Who do they have in the pivots? Do they have Tonali, Bennacer, or?
Yeah. And then it's Tomori and Kalulu as center backs, Calabria on the right, even though I thought he came off injured on Friday, but I may be wrong. Right? Yeah, I thought he did, but I guess not. And then Teo on the left, of course.
Okay. Yeah, that's been their main lineup that they've been using in most of their match. But let's see, man. But again, they don't look dangerous. They don't create much. It's a lot of individuality. That's how their chances come from either Leao or Theo Hernandez. Hopefully we know it's the case and we do stop it. Because they haven't been too threatening at all, so that's one thing. I'm not afraid that they're gonna pump us full of goals because they've been kind of misfiring.
Yeah. I mean, like we said, I mean they haven't scored more than I don't even know the last time they scored more than two. And the only thing I have is like the last time they scored two before Genoa. So if you're not scoring, I guess they scored two against us in that derby. But other than that. Yeah, I don't. When was the last time they scored three? I need to actually look it up.
I remember them pumping Lazio full of goals in the Copa, but after they played us, right?
Mm-hmm. I think so. Yeah. Scrolling back, yeah, 4-0 in the Copa against Lazio on February 9th. Before that, in the league, the last time they scored three in the league, I mean, this isn't a league match, but just looking at it, they scored three against a 10-man Venezia on January 9th. And then they scored three against Genoa in the Coppa right after that. And that's like all of their goals for the season, pretty much.
Yeah, it's dried up. The well is definitely dried up.
Yeah.
We'll be fine. I mean, Ibrahimovic, unfortunately, he's kind of breaking down in front of their very eyes, and I'm sure they didn't predict for Giroud to be playing so many matches, but Giroud is not a guy that's really, I mean, he managed to score two goals against us, but we know that's not like an Osimhen that you're going to play or a Vlahovic that you're going to play. So if we could manage Leao by having, since you said Skriniar starting, it's probably going to be Dombrosio and Dumfries, pretty much combining on that right hand side to try to neutralize Leao and Dale. If we can do that, I think we'll be golden. That's like the only two people, in my opinion, that could really threaten us in that Milan team.
Well, Dumfries, as we've seen, has some unfinished business with
Teo, and Tonali.
Tonali, there was someone else over there in that little scrum that videos really? Went around of. I think it was three guys. Maybe I'm wrong. It looked like three, but I think it may have been like Calabria or somebody, but that doesn't matter too much. Yeah, but yeah, like it was, those guys, it's been apparent. I don't even know where it came from that Dumfries and Taylor do not like each other. And I mean, it's two matches in, and these two guys look like they just need, like, you know, a ring set up at like the center of the field.
Yeah, just let them duke it out. Yeah.
But yeah, it's, you know, gonna need a big performance from Handanovic. I see that Emiliano just mentioned Handanovic's capability.
Yeah.
Don't underestimate Handanovic's capability to fuck up. I don't think any of us do. That's something we can't overlook. But when you have Skriniar like right in front of you, I think that takes a lot of the risk out of things.
That's spot on. I mean, he's cost us so many points this season. So me, I have to dial it back a little bit because I'm talking too confidently, talking about some, yeah, Giroud is not, he doesn't scare me. He's not Osimhen. He's not Vlahovic. But we've seen in the past that most of the times, well, a lot of times this season, all you have to do is get it on target, you know, and put a little power on it. So, yeah, good comment, Emiliano. You know, I can't be too confident knowing that we have this guy in the goal still.
Yeah, and I mean, our Copa, was it semifinal or quarterfinal against Juve last season, where it was Bastoni.
Him and Bastoni.
Yeah, that big mistake there. Got caught in no man's land. Easy goal, and that was it.
And then Ashley Young gave up a stupid penalty.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot about that. Oh, yeah, I blocked that one out. That was a tough one.
That's how it went out.
Yeah, just don't need a repeat of that. Hopefully the two guys involved in that have learned some lessons. What other comments do we have here? I think I saw a rumor one. Yeah, Emiliano asking, have we seen the rumors about Luka Jovic on loan? I just think it's rumors. What do we think about it? He's an okay striker. I think, you know, going to Real has hurt his career in a lot of ways. And the only striker I would want Inter to try to, you know, do a reclamation project on is Lukaku, because they've done it once, they can do it again. If it's someone like Jovic, who also has had some problems off the field, I don't want it.
He's had issues off the field?
Yeah, he had some issues with, you know, some Icardi type things, dating, teammates, significant others, I believe.
Oh,
I may be wrong on that, but,
nah, we good. But my thoughts on Jovic, I think it's mainly Ceballos. Ceballos is the main target. I think we're just kicking the tires on Real Madrid targets, seeing who we can get. We've always liked Jovic, but I would definitely leave him as the final option, because it's been, what, 2-3 seasons now that he's just been a bench player. He hasn't been able to produce. They had to send him back on loan last season for him to get some playing time. So it's kind of confirming that maybe he's not fit for that level. Of course, Real Madrid is like the pinnacle, the ultimate level, but if you can't even get some playing time, get some minutes in here and then, that probably means that you're probably not fit to even be on that team, kind of like the Mariano guy that they have. So, yeah, like you said, Lukaku is the guy that we should definitely be looking at, if it's possible, of course. Then if not, then let's go get Skamaka, because I still believe in him. I still think he can be a pretty good player, but he does need some work.
Yeah, and even looking at Jovic's stats, I mean, he had the one season in the Bundesliga where Eintracht were just really good. Like, that was a really good team. I think that was the year they knocked Inter out of the Europa League. Mm-hmm. But he had 17 goals in 32 appearances. But that was the only time he's ever hit double digits in Europe. So, yeah, no thank you.
Real Madrid might have jumped the gun on that one.
Yeah, and they usually don't. So, I mean, that's quite a fuck up on their part. Luckily, they still have Benzema, who I think is going to score until he's about 75 years old.
75 years old, yeah.
But, yeah, don't want him. Lukaku or Skamaka. You know, talking about Ceballos, I wouldn't be, you know, opposed to that. You know, taking midfielders from Real Madrid has worked for Inter in the past, so I would trust that. That's about the only thing I would trust.
Yep, we could pull a Schneider and Cambiaso on them. I like him. I like him as a player. I watched a bit of him last season at Arsenal. I think he could be a guy that could come and play the same role as Hakan, compete with Hakan, push Hakan. He's a creative midfielder, but he also has box-to-box abilities. He can play the mezzala role. So I definitely think that's the guy that would come and raise our squad's level by a notch, and that's what we need. So if we can get Ceballos on loan, kind of like the Brian Diaz deal, a year loan or 2 years loan, and then we renegotiate after, depending on how it does. If we could get Paredes from PSG, based on what the rumors are saying, and also Fratesi, that we've been linked to all season, I think that our midfield would be all set. You know, we would have three solid backups that could be starters, you know, and that's what we need. Because going from Hakan, Brozovic, Barella to Vidal, Vecino, and Gagliardini, that's too big of a dip. So those previous three I mentioned, Ceballos, Paredes, and Fratesi would be much better.
Yeah, I would take Paredes. I'm not a big fan of him, but I know in a backup role he would be fine. I don't want him to be starting on a regular basis. I never really liked him much as a player, even when he was in Serie A. But I mean, Fratesi, I feel like we've seen a lot of like rumors cool around him. Not entirely sure why. I think part of it has to do with the sell-on clause that Roma has. So Sassuolo are, of course, wanting to get the most that they can for the guy, but when you have those percentages in play, it makes it a bit harder. But yeah, I think that's pretty much everything on the rumor front as well.
Yeah, so far.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I mean, come on, bro. How do you not act like the rumors from Dybala have not been intensifying? Come on.
Yeah.
Bro.
Yeah. Well, that almost, some weeks it looks like it's not going to happen. Other weeks, you know, they're floating out tweets like it's a done deal. I think he could thrive in that second striker position. I know we say it a lot on here, but it really is about fitness. Let me see. I think he's been pretty fit recently. I know, he's missed less matches this season than Correa has, but I mean, that's a pretty low bar to have. Yeah.
No, I mean, since he came back from that latest injury, I think he's played every match. Let's see if he can finish the season strong without picking up another knock. But yeah, that's the guy that I think that move, we do have it lined up. We do want to do it, but it's going to depend on how fast we can move Lautaro and the amount that we get for him. I think that's what it is.
It
looks like a Lautaro sell would be what unlocks the market. The market is going to be hinging on that.
Yeah, just looking at his recent performances, scored against Salernitana. He's had some decent performances, assist against Atalanta. Mm-hmm. I mean, we know what kind of player he is. It's just the worry of did he start playing too early on the highest level to have a career that stretches into his 30s? That's the only thing for me.
I mean, no, it's very possible. We see a lot of those guys that blew up young and started playing young. I mean, we see a guy over there in Barcelona who you could already tell he's about to have the issue. I don't think he's going to make it to 30. Pedri, you know, since he was 17 last year, they've been playing them a bunch of matches. And then this season, he just tore a muscle again, you know. So it's like, we see a lot of that young players that if you blow up too early and you start playing too many matches at the high level, you tend to flame out. But my idea for Dybala would be to pretty much give him the keys to the car, like treat him like a senator or whatever they like to say in football. Allow him to be walking around when we don't have the ball, like Messi, you know, jogging around, even walking for the rest of the team to work for him. And then when we get the ball, we give it to him and he creates. It would be a luxury player, but I think it would be worth it if we can build the team in a way where we have 9 of the workers tracking back, pressing when they need to press, and he just does the initial press on the keeper and stuff like that. I think that would save some miles in his legs. That would save some. He doesn't have to do the intense pressing that he has to do now when he's playing as an attacking midfielder, because he has to track the the opposing defensive midfielder. You have to track him as an attacking midfielder, and when he's playing as a winger, you have to track wingbacks and stuff like that. So it's a lot more running that he's doing at Juve. That if he does come to Inter and you give him that second striker position, he would get to be a little more lazy, and I think that would be able to conserve him. But that's wishful thinking.
Yeah, and the only thing for me is, you know, I would want someone like Lukaku there with him because you need a big guy. I mean, of course, we all know that Lukaku's not a target man by trade, but he is a guy that, you know, has, with Conte in the past couple of years, developed a penchant for being able to bring that ball down and, you know, shift it off and turn and run, where we know he's a better player because he needs to be running at teams.
And no, for sure.
So we'd need someone like that to, you know, bring the ball down, hold on to it, give it to Dybala and let him, you know, work his magic. I wouldn't want Dybala and Dzeko or something like that.
No.
That can't. Yeah. That would not work.
Some people are even saying Dybala and Lautaro, we shouldn't sell Lautaro. No, I think Lukaku would be the perfect guy to match him up with, a guy that he can put balls through the channel and have him chase, kind of like we saw the assist he had for Vlahovic. Lukaku's pace was one of the main reasons why he dominated Serie A his two seasons here, you know. So yeah, definitely bring him back with with Dybala, a guy that's able to create, put little through balls here for them to find the chase. I think we would be deadly together. I mean, them two together.
Yeah, the only thing for me is Dybala does like to move to the right, and we know Lukaku loves to move to the right as
well. Right as well.
So
it's because they're both left-footed.
Yeah, that would be the only issue I see. Like, even looking at Dybala's like heat maps for the season, like it is all like that right half space just outside of the 18-yard box is like deep red. Mm-hmm. So that's the only thing for me. But I feel like if you play him as a second striker, he gets to play a little more withdrawn. He doesn't need to go into that space necessarily. Let's see, what's the chat saying about it? I know I saw someone talking about Kostic being the only Serbian we need. I think that was Mattia. That would only be if Perisic left. I think I'd rather keep Perisic at this rate.
Yeah, me too.
Let's see. Interpol saying that Dybala rumors feel like BS, doesn't make any sense in terms of fitness and wages because of Alexis. I mean, that is somewhat of a comparison, but Alexis is still way older. That's the only thing for me. I feel like there still is more in the tank for Dybala than there is for Alexis.
Absolutely. And Alexis is not cheaper, by the way. Alexis is our highest earner on the team right now.
Yeah.
As it stands. You know, yeah. So it would probably be just an exchange of salaries between what Sanchez is making now and what we'll be offering Dybala. So he wouldn't be cheaper.
Yeah. And then Interpol also making the same kind of comment that we were, but he's very much more on the side of intense disagreement about Lukaku and Dybala. Lukaku and Dybala. I said Lukaku. No, I didn't just do that.
No, you said Lukaku. You're fine.
Okay, I thought I said Lukaku. I was like, no, I am sorry. We're not dragging on here. But yeah, he says that both just left-footed, occupying the same space, wages and all that. Which is fair. I mean, I do need to see, you know, how wages are going to come and go. I mean, I know that Alexis and Vidal are both out. Those are two of the highest wage earners from the Conte era.
Vecino as well. Vecino should be cleaning up another spot for us. My main thing is, my only concern about Dybala is fitness. That's it. Wages, I don't worry about that because, again, we have Alexis Sanchez right now as our highest earner. He's a bench player. Arturo Vidal is our second highest earner or third. He's a bench player as well. So, come on, we cannot talk about wages because we have our highest earners as bench players. So, our wage structure is all fucked up as it is. So, if we can give that high salary to a star player that's going to be playing in the starting 11, hopefully, if he's fit, as opposed to giving it to a bench player, then yeah, definitely we would do that. That's what I would do personally. So that's my only question is just fitness. But great players like that, Lukaku, Vlahovic is left-footed as well. And him and Dybala, are they seem to be building up a good little rapport. I don't think that would be an issue at all. Tactically, a coach could fix that easily. Just by giving them the right the right areas that they need to be in. So I think that would be an easy fix. I think they'll be just fine regardless of whether they're both left footed.
Yeah, and looking, I don't know how credible this site is. I just wanted to look at wages for the sake of curiosity. Looking at Capology.com, I don't know how reputable it is, but says that our highest earners are actually Lautaro and Brozovic, both making $11 million a year. It has Alexis and Arturo Vidal down at about $8 million a year. But
is that like before taxes and stuff, or
it says gross? I'm not exactly sure. So that would be, that's just what you're paying. That's not net, right?
Yeah,
it's gross and the net.
Gross is net is exactly how much they take home. Because I remember our wage structure was when Lukaku was there, Lukaku and Eriksen, they both were on 7.5 net, and they were our highest earners. I don't know. Well, in that case, I'll have to do a little research. I didn't think we gave Lautaro that much.
Yeah, let me share this so it doesn't just look like me. Let's see, settings. Nope, that's not it. This is why we need Ian. where's the screen share? There we go. Share screen. Tab. This tab. Not sure quite how it looks. I'll give it some zoom, but yeah, this is just what I was looking at right here.
Oh wow.
Lautaro, there over here on 11 in gross. Yeah, this is what I'm seeing. I mean, of course, having Alexis and Vidal out of there, that's a huge chunk of wages that would be freed up. I guess we'll restructure on Handanovic for the new contract will be a little different. His will probably go down. But yeah, I'm no accountant by any of this stretch of the imagination. I just thought it was interesting to look at.
No, for sure. Absolutely. I mean, I have to go look as well, because I guess those two guys, those three guys, we just gave him renewals at the beginning, throughout the season. You know, Lautaro was done last year. Brozovic just got done. Barella, same thing. So I guess we just gave those guys new deals, and now they've climbed up the structure. And as you can see, they both have 5 years. All three of them have 5 years. So they're fresh deals. I don't know, man. I'm not going to dwell too much on a wage situation. So it's like you're saying that if we were able to get Dybala on a cheaper deal, then we should do it. You know, I don't think it's that important, the wage. I think Bepe and them are gonna figure it out.
Yeah. I mean, there are already, I'm sure, plenty of plans in place, contingency plans.
No, you know, we know he loves Dybala. That's his guy. So I'm sure if it's possible and if it makes sense, there's no way he won't do it.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, I think that's pretty much it. We made it to our usual ending time. Yeah, a little bit after the hour. I guess if we'd have had one of our other two panelists on, we would have gone a little bit longer. But this has been a good one. Good chat, keeping us, you know, giving us some more content to keep churning out. Any final thoughts?
No, thanks everybody for participating with us. Interpol, Mattia, as always, and Emiliano, Benjamin, and Lord Figo, who are trying to take all of stuff, like always. I thank everybody, anybody new that we didn't mention. If we don't see it, thank you, everybody. We appreciate it, and we'll definitely announce when we're doing the next one for you guys to come join us again.
Yeah. Not sure if we'll go after Milan. It's possible, but...
You know how it goes. Depending on the result, we might have to be like, "Yo, let's get on right now."
Result and everyone's schedule. We'll work on it, and we'll be on soon. Looking forward to it, and thanks everyone. Thanks, Dave. Really appreciate it. As always, you know.